Well, let's take God's word, if you would, with me. Go to John chapter 21. Did you notice the title of the message this morning in the bulletin? I'm going fishing. Well, bye. No, I'm just joking. That seems like a strange message for Easter Sunday, doesn't it? A title of a message. In John chapter 21, we'll read the first three verses to begin with. John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. On this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. The horrors of the crucifixion were over. The agony of the cross had ended, and the Lord Jesus Christ had shed his blood to wash away our sins. The burial is over. He has slept. His body has slept in the grave for 3 days and nights, the Bible tells us. The resurrection has happened. Through the glory of the Heavenly Father, he was raised again in a glorified body and showed himself alive to his disciples. We celebrate that occasion today and every day. The Lord Jesus Christ had appeared to his disciples. He had said to them in the upper room, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. One disciple was absent that day. Thomas said, I won't believe it unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and in his side the wound of the spear. A week later, the Lord Jesus Christ again comes to the disciples and shows Thomas the print of the nails in his hands, the hole in his side. And Thomas says to Jesus, my Lord and my God. Because Jesus not only died but had risen again. And John ends chapter 20 after describing that event with these words. And truly, many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life through his name. It would have been a wonderful place to end the Gospel of John, I guess, with the last words of chapter 20. That the gospel has happened and you are invited to believe in Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, as your God, and to be saved from hell and coming judgment. Great place to end. But it didn't end in chapter 20. We begin with the word there in verse 21, chapter 21, excuse me, verse 1, chapter 21, verse 1, after these things. Yeah. In a few minutes, we will leave this room and we'll turn out the lights and we'll go somewhere else and we will conclude our services here concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. What are you going to do after these things? And I don't so much mean where you're going to eat today. I mean, how are you going to live in light of the resurrection? In light of the fact that Jesus, God's Son, came from heaven to die for your sins, was buried and rose again. What are you going to do with it after these things? The Bible tells us there in that first verse that Jesus came to his disciples and he showed himself alive again to them at the Sea of Tiberias. Sea of Tiberias. Must not be here in Wisconsin, right? There's not a Sea of Tiberias. It's not even called the Sea of Tiberias anymore. It wasn't really called the Sea of Tiberias very much in the Bible. It was called the Sea of Galilee. And it's where Jesus went to find his disciples. Several of his disciples fished on that lake before he called them. But it was called the Sea of Tiberias because Tiberius was the emperor of Rome. It was named after the present emperor of Rome of that day. You see, the day after Jesus Christ arose from the dead, the day after the gospel was complete, Tiberius was still the emperor in Rome. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were still the religious leader in Jerusalem. Nobody got a raise on their paycheck. Everybody still had, it seemed like, the same problems and the same issues. How did the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ affect anybody or anything? Did anything change at all? Jesus had told his disciples, I want you to go to Galilee. I want you to wait for me. I'm coming there. We read it in our responsive reading this morning. Wait for me in Galilee. And Peter's like, okay, when's he coming? Finally, Peter says, you know what? I'm going fishing. And without prayer, without seeking what the Lord would have him do, without knowing what God's will really was, without attention to the gospel that had just happened, he just says, I'm going fishing. Is there anything wrong with going fishing? No, technically not. Okay, Jesus Christ had just been horribly crucified. He was buried, he rose again. And Peter's response in the very next chapter is, I got it, okay, but I'm going fishing. A long time ago, when I was a teenager, unsaved, sitting in church, and the preacher would get up and he would preach the very gospel that I've just given to you. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. You need to be saved. You need to trust Christ. And I, sitting there, knew I wasn't saved. I went to church, but I was not really a Christian. I had never trusted Jesus as my Savior, my Lord. And I would be convicted about that, and the preacher would give like the invitation at the end. It might be just as I am, they'd sing, or I surrender all. And I'm standing there thinking, I need to get saved. But I don't want to get saved today. But I need to get saved. I'm arguing this back and forth. And immediately, as soon as the preacher would pray the closing prayer, on many occasions there was this Christian man whom I love dearly to this day, and he's on the other side in heaven now. But he would come over to our family within 10 to 15 seconds of almost every sermon, especially during the summertime now, and he would say, hey, my tomato plants are coming up. Yeah, they're about that high now. And the next week, the preacher could preach on the glories of heaven, the horrors of hell, and how I need to be saved. And I'd be convicted about that. And the preacher would give the invitation, and I knew I needed to get saved. I knew it, I'd argue. 10 to 15 seconds after the closing prayer. Hey, my tomatoes are up now. The plants are about that big, and it's starting to get a little green tomatoes on about that way. And all throughout the summer, we'd get the size of those tomatoes. Is there anything wrong with raising tomatoes? No. Is there anything wrong about talking about tomatoes? No, technically not. But sometimes our response to the serious things of God is, I'm going fishing. Now, what Simon Peter doesn't know is now, since he is a Christian, since he knows Jesus Christ as his Savior, as his Lord, that even going fishing isn't going to ever be like it was previously. It's just not going to be that way. Because Jesus isn't going to let it happen like it used to happen before Peter was lost. So, I'd like for us to briefly, number one today, think about going fishing without Jesus. We're not going to take him with him, with us. We're not even sure where he's at. We're just going to go fishing. And we read about that in verse 2 and 3. And the first thing I noticed when they went fishing without Jesus is found in verse 2. It's found, it names some of the guys that were with him in verse 2. And then in verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. He said to these six other guys, I'm going fishing. They say unto him, notice these words, we also go with thee. When Simon Peter said, in response to the gospel of Christ, I'm going fishing, six other guys says, hey, we'll go with you. We'll go fishing with you. You see, when we take the things of God real lightly, and our response to the message is, have you seen the size of my tomatoes? Or, let's go fishing. You're being watched. A child is watching you. A fellow Christian is watching you. And somebody's going to say, well, if you're going, I'm going with you. And especially if you're a kind of leader like Peter was. When Peter said, I'm going to do this. Well, if Peter does it, I can do it. You know, we need to back up and just remember to pray about everything and to submit our plans to the Lord. If the Lord will, we shall go fishing. And never do anything without making sure that we're walking with him. Somebody, a husband or wife, will go down with you if you go down. Number two, when he went fishing, he didn't catch anything. Now you may, as a Christian, go out here and maybe not be the will of the Lord, and you go fishing, and or you do something. I'm not even saying it's sinful to go fishing. It's not. But you just go out. You may be successful for a while. But I'd like for us to notice this passage in verse 3. The last part of the verse says, they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. It was like when they didn't really pursue Jesus like they should have, and they kind of took this whole thing too lightly, they couldn't even fish right. They couldn't even get something simple right. And even if they'd have got it right, there would have been a twinge of guilt that, man, we really didn't seek God's will about this. We should have. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And if you want to bear fruit, you have to keep in contact with me. You have to abide in me and I in you. And he said, without me, you can do... We know it, don't we? We know what it says, most of us. Without me, you can do nothing. You see, what Jesus was telling his disciples is this. From now on, Peter, James, John, Andrew, you guys, you're not really going to be successful in your Christian life if you attempt anything without me. You're always going to be struggling. In order to be blessed by Jesus, you must walk with Jesus. The blessing really was right there underneath their boat. Those fish were there all the time. They just couldn't catch any of them. You want a successful marriage? Both husband and wife need to walk with God. Walk with Jesus. Want to raise godly children? Without me, you can do nothing. If we want a church that's magnifying Christ in our community, reaching our community for Christ, without me, you can do nothing. We want to conquer that bad habit that's been eaten and eaten at us for years. Don't take Jesus lightly. Make him the preeminent one, the number one person in your life. You want to win that person to Christ you've been praying for years to get saved. Without me, you can do nothing. When you get tired of catching nothing, then maybe it's time to just back up and say, you know what, I think I need to get Jesus back on the boat. As the Lord of my life. He went fishing, others followed. He went fishing and he failed. Verse 4. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. When he went fishing, he didn't even recognize Jesus. They were about 300 feet from the shore. Maybe he was too far from Jesus to see exactly who it was. It's the morning. Maybe the morning fog is over the lake. They weren't expecting Jesus. They were caught up in fishing. Sometimes we sing the song, I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him, what? But they weren't thinking of him all the day long. They were thinking about fishing, fishing. And sometimes the Lord is there. We just miss it. We just miss him. He's there through the preaching of his word as he talks to us and speaks to us and says, this is for you. He's there as another Christian God brings into our life to influence us toward him. But when I was a lost teenager, even after the sermon and after I went home at night and the lights were off and I was upstairs in my room on my bed at 601 East Finley, Atumwi, where the Holy Spirit of God was sent by God to convict him of his sin. Sometimes God is there by disciplining us when we sin. But God says, yeah, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Will you hear his voice? And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to use this event to draw Peter back into full fellowship with him. And so that's fishing without Jesus. Number two today, finding your way back to Jesus. Notice verse 5. Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? Did you catch anything? You got any food there? Any fish? And they answered him, what? No. First of all, getting right with Jesus means, and making Jesus the preeminent Lord of our life means that we have to admit our present condition. So is life working for you without him? Do you have, what do you have to show for your life without Jesus? Do you have any meat, children? And the disciples say, no. We don't have the ability in and of ourselves to do this right. We don't know what's happening out here, but we aren't catching any fish. Admit where we are in life. Okay, Jesus. I'm in a mess. I've really spent a lot of time and energy in this, but I haven't got anywhere. Verse 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. What did these disciples do in order to catch fish? What did they do in order to be successful? They simply obeyed the Lord Jesus. Success is obeying Jesus. That's all it is. Knowing him, obeying him. It's not about how many fish are in the lake. It's about life. Learning to lean on the one who was crucified and who did rise again. Trusting the resurrected Christ every moment, every day. You know what? Jesus Christ had let them fail. He had let them not be successful. He had let them come to the end of themselves when they said, We didn't get anything. When they finally came to the point where they said, we are powerless, we caught nothing, then Jesus says, let me tell you what to do now. And I can remember the first church I pastored after some years of struggling. And I've told some of you this before. I went to a pastor's meeting, and one of the pastors said, Brother Lindsay, how's things over in? He named the city I was in, and how's things going? And I was like, not too good. You know, if anything ever happens in that city and in that church, God's going to have to do it, because I've run out of ideas. I mean, they taught me in Bible college, use this method and this one. It worked in my community. It'll work in yours. Didn't work. And when I got to the end of myself, that's when God began to work. Without me, you can do nothing. Jesus Christ knew exactly where the fish were. He just didn't let them catch any, so they would come to the end of themselves. Verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loves, who's the disciple that Jesus loved? John, the author of the book, right? That's what he calls himself in this book. John said unto Peter, it's the Lord, the man on the shore that just told us where to cast our net, that helped us catch all these fish. That's got to be Jesus. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher coat unto him, for he was naked, which means he was immodestly clothed. He did cast himself into the sea. You want to get to Jesus? Rush to him no matter what. And don't let anything or anybody stop you from coming to Christ. I mean, they just caught all these fish. That's what they spent all night trying to do. They finally catch all these fish, so much fish they can't pull it in because they obeyed Christ. And what does Peter do? Forget the fish. I'm going to Jesus. Because anywhere with Jesus is better than tons of fish with him. Look to Christ. Run to Christ. Swim to Christ if you have to, but get to Jesus. And look to him as your Savior and the Lord of your life. And when you do that, be prepared for something. Notice verse 9. By the way, it mentions there in verse 8. Let's read verse 8. The other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all that there were so many, yet the net was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh, taketh bread, and giveth them fish likewise. When you rush to Christ, and you say, Jesus, I'm not going to run ahead of you anymore. Even if it's going fishing, or golfing, or to the mall, or wherever, Lord, I want to walk with you. I'm not going to leave you out anymore. When you rush to Christ and you want to get right with him, be prepared to be blessed by Jesus. Now, Jesus says, first of all, Peter, you go help the other guys. Bring the fish in. Go bring all the fish in. They counted them, 153 fish. They count. That's just part of being not lazy. And so he has Peter draw on the fish. And when they get to the shore, guess what Jesus has for him for breakfast? You know, he has fish. Yeah, the fish is already baked over the fire. And he has bread for him. They didn't even have to go fishing. He'd have provided the fish. And I have seen people work all their lives chasing happiness or something, the emptiness within their soul that Jesus simply gives to those who will trust him and obey him. I've seen people work and work and work to get things that God will hand to his people if they'll serve him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. You see, Jesus called these men 3 years earlier to leave fishing. That was their livelihood. That was their job. That was their occupation. He said, guys, I'm going to make you to become fishers of men. We're going to go after souls now. We're going to go after people. And the Bible says they forsook all and followed him. They left behind the boat before and the nets. And they went after Jesus. But there was always that temptation to go back. But you know what? They didn't have to worry about it anymore. Because as they followed Jesus, he would provide their every need. He'd take care of what they needed to eat. He would take care of what they needed to drink. He would take care of them. In a few minutes, and now less than when we started, we're going to leave this place, and we're going to turn out the lights, and the message is over, and we're going to go someplace else. And most of us here today believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and that he rose again. What are you going to do with that? How are you going to live that out this week? I would hope that in every area of your life, you would say, if the Lord will, I'll go fishing. If the Lord wants me to, I'll raise tomatoes. If the Lord wants me to, I'll do this or that. And you will surrender your entire time, your life, your finance, everything, your family to God. What are you going to do with Jesus? Let's stand, if you would, with me.